Next weekend, we are beginning a new series called The Me You Don't See. I once heard someone say that every person you encounter is fighting a battle that we don't see. And that's true for every one of us here. There's a battle in your life, there's a struggle in your life, there's a pain in your life that most people don't see. And so in this series, we're going to cover topics like depression and trauma and insecurity and pain. And I believe this is the kind of series that God could bring a healing into your life. That there might be something you've carried with you for years that God is going to use this series to bring a deep healing into your soul. So I want to invite you back next weekend for The Me You Don't See. Today, we get to gather with billions of believers around the world to celebrate that the stone has been rolled away, the tomb is empty, and Jesus Christ has resurrected from the dead. But here's the question I want to ask. What difference does that make in our life? The day that Jesus died on the cross, the day that he resurrected back from the dead, what difference do those days make? When my wife Sarah and I were dating in college, we took a class abroad. We were studying in the countries of Greece and Turkey with along about 30 other college students. And we were at the ancient city of Ephesus. And we got back to the bus and Sarah turned to me and she said, "Oh no, I forgot my sweatshirt back at the ruins." Well, the ruins were like a mile from the bus. I mean, this was not right out the door. But I was a love-struck boyfriend. And so what did I do? I got out of that bus and I went running a mile back to get the sweatshirt. And I came back to the bus and I was serenaded by 30 college students singing, "I would walk 500 miles." Now, Jesus didn't walk 500 miles. Here's what Jesus did. Jesus left heaven, and he did so because of love. Philippians chapter 2 says this. It says, "Though he," Jesus, "was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privilege. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross." Jesus left heaven. He gave up the privilege of sitting at the right hand of God the Father. He allowed himself to die a criminal's death, and he did so because of love. Jesus didn't walk 500 miles. He left heaven, a different dimension. And he did so, the Bible says, because God so loved the world, that God so loved you, that he sent his one and only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. But you might be thinking, okay, like I talk to people all the time who say, "Oh, I've always believed there's a God who exists. I mean, I've always believed that there's a God there." And if you ask them, "Does God love you?" they might say, "Yeah, I think he does." But what they're not as sure about is what difference does that make in their life? Not just on Easter, but on the Wednesday after Easter, on the Friday after Easter. This was me growing up. When I was growing up, I didn't go to church. I didn't even go to church on Easter. But if you would have asked me, "Hey, do you believe that there's a God who exists?" I would have said, "Absolutely, I've always believed that." If you would have said, "Does this God love you?" I would have said, "Yeah, I think so. I'm a pretty good guy. I'm guessing he probably loves me." But what I didn't understand was the difference that that made in my life. The day that Jesus died on the cross, the day he rose back to life, what difference did those days make? That I wasn't so sure of. What I was sure of was I lived in fear. Specifically, at that time, I had a fear of dying. And I would carry that fear with me. I had regrets. I would have told you I was a good person, and I kind of believed that, but honestly, I had been deceitful about some things. I had hurt some people. I had a temper. There were some things that I regretted in my life. And then I would look at other people, and they would go through some really hard circumstances, and they would have a peace. And I remember thinking, how do they have that? How do they have such a peace and a joy? I wish I had that, but I didn't know how to get it. Maybe you can relate to one of those. Maybe you go, "Man, I live in fear. And I have worry and anxiety that I carry with me every day." Maybe there's some things from your past that you regret, that you feel a sense of guilt and shame about. Or maybe you just look at other people and you go, how do they have peace? I mean, I don't have that. I don't have that kind of peace and joy in my life. I want you to know today that you can have that. And the reason you can have it is because of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. In the New Testament, there's a book called 1 Peter. And it was written by one of Jesus' closest followers. His name was Peter. And Peter was there for all of it. I mean, every single miracle that Jesus ever did, every healing that Jesus ever did, he was there for Jesus' death on the cross. Peter saw all of it. And after the resurrection, Peter sat down and he wrote a letter to a group of Christians who were being persecuted for their faith. And so they had to flee from Jerusalem. They were dispersed all throughout Asia Minor. And here's what Peter wrote to that group of people. He said this, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth." So all of us are physically born, but the Bible says that we have to be spiritually born as well. He says, "Into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." I love this phrase, living hope. Do you have a living hope today? The kind of hope that's alive and it's active. It's not just a hope that there's a God who exists. It's not just a hope that things will work out someday when you leave this life. It's a hope that gets you through next Wednesday and next Friday and next week and next month. It's a living hope. It's alive. It's active. Do you have a living hope? The verse says that the reason we can have a living hope is because of Jesus Christ's resurrection from the dead. The day that Jesus died on the cross, the day that he rose back to life, the difference that those days make is that they allow us to have a living hope. And that's not the only difference that they make. It is the day that our debt was canceled. The day that Jesus died on the cross was the day that our debt was canceled. Colossians chapter 2 says, "He, Jesus, canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross." Can you imagine for a moment if there was a record of your wrongs? Every impure thought you've ever had, every sinful behavior that you've ever done, it was written down. If that existed for me, and I had a scroll up here that had every impure thought and every sinful behavior, and I started rolling out that scroll, we would be out the door, we would be across the street, we would be heading down 35W to Des Moines. We would keep going to Dallas, Texas, we'd be out into the Gulf of Mexico with that sucker. And the Bible says that Jesus, for those who put their faith and trust in him, takes that record of wrongs and he nails it to the cross. He cancels the debt of our sin. And the way that Jesus did that was through the shedding of his very own blood. In May of 2006, there was a doctor named Dr. Samuel Weinstein who performed one of the most unique surgeries of his career. Dr. Weinstein was a leading surgeon at a New York medical center. But on this day, he was performing surgeries in El Salvador for needy children. One of those kids was a little 8-year-old boy named Francisco Fernandez. And as Dr. Weinstein was performing this surgery, he realized that this little boy was losing so much blood, he was going to probably not make it through the surgery. What he also knew is that he didn't have the proper medication to stop the bleeding. And he also understood that this little 8-year-old boy, his blood type was B negative, which is the rarest blood type in the world. Only 2% of the world's population have a blood type of B negative. But what Dr. Weinstein also knew, that none of the other surgeons who were performing that surgery understood, was that he himself was B negative. And so as the surgery was taking place, Dr. Weinstein stepped off to the side. He took a pint of his own blood. He then stepped back in and he used that pint of his own blood to successfully save this little boy's life. Ephesians chapter 1 says this. It says, for by the blood of Christ, we are set free. That is, our sins are forgiven. And then he adds, how great is the grace of God. Jesus performed a surgery on our hearts. He was able to save us from our sin, to cancel the debt of our sin. And Jesus did that through the shedding of his own blood. How great is the grace of God. When I was in elementary school, my parents took me down to Florida to see the Minnesota Twins in spring training. And this was years ago, so we were at Tinker Field in Orlando, and we went to one of the Twins' practices. So a bunch of the players were coming out, doing batting practice, that kind of thing, including my childhood hero, Kirby Puckett. When Puckett got done with batting practice, he walked over to about six of us that were standing there, and he started signing autographs. And I was crushed. I didn't have any of my Kirby Puckett baseball cards. I didn't even have a baseball for him to sign. And so I started frantically looking around. I'm like, is there a piece of paper? Is there anything that I could have Puckett sign? And then I saw it. Felt like it had been placed there by God himself. But underneath the bleachers was a filthy, ragged, chewed up old baseball. And so I ran and got the baseball. I brought it back over to Kirby Puckett. He signed the baseball. And when he was done signing it, he moved on to the guy next to me, who was a sports memorabilia dealer. And this guy had a suitcase. I mean, Kirby Puckett, baseball cards and bats and balls. And he must have signed 30 or 40 items. When Puckett was done, he came back to me. This little 10-year-old kid. And he looked at me and he said, kid, do you got everything you need? I'm standing there holding my filthy old little baseball. I'm like, yeah, I'm good. And just then, Puckett reached down, and he grabbed the bat that he had been using in batting practice, and he handed it to me. Here's a picture that my dad grabbed of this. I'm the little guy with the hat there right in front of Puckett. After Puckett gave me this bat, the sports memorabilia dealer offered me $1,000 for this thing. As you can see, I said, no, I would sell it to you today for $1,000. I totally would, trust me, it's not that great. Now I wanna read to you this verse and then I'm gonna kind of relate that story, but here's the verse. We are all infected and impure with sin, all of us. When we try to display our righteous deeds, they are nothing but filthy rags. In other words, often what we do with God is we say, God, but I'm a good person. That's why I deserve it. I deserve to go to heaven and have salvation. And we try to show God all of our good works. And compared to the holiness and perfection of God, it's like a filthy old baseball. It's like filthy rags. But God says, here's what you can do. You can take all of your sin and all of your guilt and all of your shame and all of your condemnation, and you can give it to me. And in exchange, I will give you something far greater than a baseball bat. I will give you my very own righteousness. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says this, that God made him, that's Jesus, who had no sin. Jesus never sinned. But he made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Theologians call this the imputed righteousness of Christ. Imputed meaning it was credited to our account, which means we don't earn it, we don't deserve it, we simply receive it as a gift. Imagine for just a moment that you were checking your bank account later on today and you looked in there and you're like, this is weird, all my debt has been canceled. My mortgage, my car payment, everything, it's been completely wiped clean. And then there was a credit to your account of like $100 million or something like that. This is a picture of what Jesus did. Jesus canceled the debt of our sin. He wiped our record of wrongs clean. And then he credited to our account his very own righteousness. So that when God looks at you, he doesn't see the sin, he doesn't see the guilt and the shame. What he sees is the righteousness of Jesus Christ covering our sin. Maybe today you feel like your whole life is like this worn out old baseball. You're like, I've just been taking some hits, and you take one hit and then you take another hit and you get beat down a little bit and scuffed up a little bit, and pretty soon, next thing you know, you just feel worn out by life. And I want you to know today that God is offering that you can turn all of that pain and that sin and that guilt and that hurt in, and he will cancel the debt. He will nail the record of wrongs to the cross. That's the difference that day makes. The burden that you experience, that you carry with you, can be lifted as that debt is canceled. Here's the second difference that these days make, and it's this. It is the day that death died. Romans chapter 6 says this: since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. Death has a mastery over all of us. It's why we all die. And I know this isn't real encouraging to talk about on Easter, but you're gonna die, and I'm gonna die. We're all gonna die. I don't care how much kale you eat. I don't care how many cold plunges you do. I don't care how much kombucha you drink or probiotics you take. You can have apple cider vinegar every single day. You can put avocado oil on everything. You can eat organic, gluten-free, dairy-free, no-carb, non-GMO, grass-fed, all-natural, locally raised superfoods. Detox, sweat out every toxin known to man. You can have an air diffuser, a purifier, a water filter. You can drink matcha tea, bone broth, coconut water, almond milk. You can eat chickpeas and chia seeds and sprouted foods. Do all of it, you're still gonna die. My whole week was spent memorizing that. You want to know what I did this entire week? There it is. You just saw it. Death has a mastery over us all. But here is the good news. The day that Jesus Christ resurrected from the dead is the day that death died. It is the day that death lost its grip. It is the day that death lost its victory. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Paul says this: but let me tell you this wonderful secret that God has revealed to us. Not all of us will die. And you're going, hold on a second, you just told me I'm going to die no matter how much kale I eat. And now here's the Bible saying, not all of us will die. Which one is it? What he's saying is, if you're a believer in Christ, not just believing he exists, but you've united yourself to Jesus through faith. He says, you will not die. Instead, you will be transformed. And it will happen in a moment, in the blinking of an eye. There's a book called Famous Last Words, where they look at the famous quotes from different people over history. And one of the quotes in the book is from a Civil War general named General Sedgwick. And it's reported that his last words before dying were this. He said, oh, they couldn't hit an elephant at this dist. That was it. They couldn't hit an elephant at this dist. And just like that, General Sedgwick stepped into eternity. But here's the good news. If General Sedgwick was a follower of Jesus Christ, as quickly as that bullet passed through him, he did not die. He was transformed. I mentioned earlier that I grew up kind of with a fear of death. And it would be about 11 o'clock at night. It was always the same time at night. And I'd be laying in bed and I would have this thought. Jason, one day you will cease to exist. All of your memories, all of your conscious thoughts, who you are, it's gone. And I think because I couldn't control that, there was nothing I could ever do about it, that would send me into a panic attack. I'd have to get up out of bed, I'd be a little bit short of breath, I'd start pacing around the room until it would wear off. And then when I was in college, I started studying whether or not Jesus resurrected from the dead. And I thought, probably not. I mean, people don't die and come back to life. I don't think smart people would believe that. But the more I started to study it, the more I realized there were some really smart people who believed it. And it wasn't blind faith. It wasn't wishful thinking. It's not just because that's what they grew up with and their parents told them. that there's historical evidence that points to the fact that Jesus Christ physically resurrected back to life. And so I put my faith and my trust in him. And I became a follower of Christ, and I started reading through the Bible. And there are times when you read a verse from the Bible, and then there are times when a verse from the Bible speaks to you. And this verse spoke to me. It was from the book of Hebrews. And it said, because God's children are human beings, made of flesh and blood, the Son also became flesh and blood. For only as a human being could he die. If Jesus was only fully God, he could not have died. He had to also become fully human. For only as a human being could he die, and only by dying could he break the power of the devil, who had the power of death. And only in this way could he set free all who have lived their lives as slaves to the fear of dying. And I read that verse and I thought, that's me. I have lived my whole life as a slave to the fear of dying. Have you ever lost someone close to you? Maybe it was your mom or your dad. It was a brother or a sister. Could have been a best friend. Worst of all, a child. Death is awful. Death is the enemy. It's why Paul writes a little bit later in 1 Corinthians, he says, when this happens, when our perishable earthly bodies, our earthly bodies are perishable, have been transformed into heavenly bodies that will never die, then at last the scriptures will come true. Death is swallowed up in victory. And then he begins to almost speak directly to death. And he says, oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? That's about as close as God gets to trash talking. Pastor Levi Lusko has written a book called Through the Eyes of a Lion. And it was a book born out of his own personal tragedy. His 4-year-old daughter, Lenya, died from an asthma attack. And in the book, he describes frantically trying to give her CPR, racing her to the emergency room, only to have ER doctors pronounce her dead upon arrival. Levi and his wife got down on their knees in the emergency room, and they prayed to God. And they thanked God for 4 years with this little girl. And then they committed her spirit into his hands. And then they had to go home. The nurse said, well, you can call the funeral home and make some arrangements. And just like that, they walked out of the hospital, across the parking lot, into their car. Levi said he got in the car and he looked up at the rearview mirror. And there was a gap. There was something missing where his daughter Lenya used to sit. The next day, they had a really fun family day planned. They were going to sleep in and go out and grab some breakfast. And they were going to go to Target and get a Barbie doll for Lenya. And then they had dinner reservations. And the next day came and went. And there was no sleeping in, and there was no breakfast out. There was no Barbie doll at Target. Lusko table for six would be called, but now they were a family of five. A few months later, Levi and his wife were watching some family videos, and they saw one where Lenya was playing with her older sister, and they were playing Snow White. And Lenya was Snow White, and so she took a bite out of the apple, and she laid down to pretend that she had died. And then she jumped up, and she said, and she got back up, and she went to be with Jesus in heaven. And little did Lenya know that 5 days later, she herself would do just that. Levi writes these words in his book. He said, people commonly say rest in peace or RIP as a final salvo over a grave. But God has three different words for you to hold on to in faith as you approach the death of believers. Those three words are raised in power. You will not die. If you have been united to Jesus Christ, you will be transformed. When my son Jasper was about 2 years old, my wife was kind of trying to explain to him the concept of heaven. And this is a really hard concept to explain to a two-year-old, but she was like, oh, heaven's gonna be amazing, and Jesus is there, and you're gonna see him face to face. And Jasper's like, let's go. I go, let's just get in the car, let's go, I wanna go. And we're like, well, it's not like the Mall of America. You know, we can tell you how that's pretty cool, and we can take you there, but we can't take you to heaven. And so my wife said, in order to go to heaven, you have to die. And you never know how a two-year-old is gonna kind of process that, but here was Jasper's response. Take a look.
So who do you want to talk to?
I want to talk to Jesus.
To Jesus?
I want Jesus help me.
What do you want him to help you do?
I want Jesus help me die.
Oh, do you, and where do you want to go with him?
Because I want to go to heaven.
You want to go to heaven?
Yeah,
I do too. We do that, yeah.
Uncle, Jesus, you do that?
Yeah, we can go with Jesus to heaven when he brings us there, when he comes and gets us, okay?
Okay.
You know, Jesus once said that we are to have the faith of a child. And I saw that video and I thought, I wonder if that's what he's talking about. There's something so simple and pure about a little kid going, I want to see him. I want to be with him. Jesus once said these words in John 11. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. He says, anyone. Doesn't matter who you are or what you've done or what your past has been like. Anyone who believes in him, and not just believes that he exists or that he's out there somewhere, but who has a faith and a trust in Jesus Christ, he says they will live even though they die. I want this for each of you. I want each of you to be able to walk out of here today and say, the debt of my sin has been canceled and the weight has been lifted off. I want for each of you to be able to say, I have the promise and the assurance of eternal life that I will live even though I die. And I want you to have a living hope, the kind of hope that makes a difference in your life, not just on Easter, but on the Wednesday after Easter, the Friday after Easter. It's a living hope. And I believe that you can have that through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. As you came in today at your campus, you received this bulletin. Go ahead and pull that out right now, if you would. Just take a moment to grab it. If you're online, you can scan the QR code and it will come up on your phone. But at the bottom here, there's a part that said, I am making a decision to follow Jesus today. And then there's a spot for your name and email and phone number. And the reason that we want that is we want to send you some free resources that will help you know God and to grow in your faith and to follow him. But for some of you, today might be your day. Today is your day to say, you know what, I'm gonna go beyond just believing that there's a God who exists, and I'm gonna put my faith and my trust in Jesus Christ. And I wanna invite you to pray and to confess and to invite him into your life. In fact, in just a moment, I wanna give you a gift, and it's the gift of reflection. Sometimes on Easter, it becomes about Easter bunnies and eggs and brunch and who's coming over later. And I want to give each of us a moment to talk to God. And if you're a believer, this is a moment for you to simply say, God, thank you. Thank you for canceling the debt of my sin. Thank you for the promise of eternal life. But for others of you, it's a moment to pray quietly in your mind. God, I confess my sin. Would you forgive me? And I believe in Jesus Christ. And I want to receive the free gift of salvation. I've invited our band to come out and to sing over us. This is a song to just remain seated for and let it wash over you. But I want to give you a moment just to close your eyes and take some time to talk with your Creator. And then I'll come back up and pray for us.
Alone. without hope and no place to begin. Your love made a way to let mercy come in. When death was arrested, my life began. Ash was redeemed, only beauty remains. My orphan heart was given a name. My morning grew quiet, my feet rose to dance. When death was arrested, my life began. Oh, your grace so free washes over me. You have made me new, now life begins with you. Released from my chains, I'm a prisoner no more. My shame was a ransom faithfully bore. He canceled my debt and he called me his friend. Oh, when death was arresting, my life began. Oh, your grace so free washes over. Our Savior's blade on a criminal's cross, and darkness rejoiced as though heaven had lost.
Would you stand with me as we pray? God, there are some of us here, and today is our day. Today is our day to just quietly pray in our mind, Lord, I confess my sin. Would you forgive me? I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay the penalty that I could not pay myself. And so, God, right now I receive that free gift of your grace and free gift of eternal life. Lord, there are others of us here who've been following you for a while. Lord, we thank you. We thank you that the debt of our sin has been canceled. We thank you that we have the promise of eternal life, and we thank you for the living hope that we have through Jesus Christ's resurrection from the dead. It is in his name that we pray. There are some of us here who just made the most important decision of our lives, and we want to celebrate. We want to celebrate that the stone has been rolled away. We want to celebrate that the tomb is empty. We want to celebrate that Jesus Christ has resurrected from the dead. We want to celebrate that death has no victory, death has no sting, that death has been arrested. Let's sing together.